even when I'm down. Got my head in the clouds and my feet on the ground. I got big dreams.
Yes, we've got big dreams here at the Genius Lab. This is Toby Christensen, your self-empowerment trainer. And today we are going to talk more about my book, Release Your Shit and Reclaim Your Power. This has been such a fantastic tool to help people get out of the muck and get into a forward progressing, proactive movement in their life. And the workshops, oh my God. People's lives are radically changing, and I love it. Today, we are going to talk about five things. Self-esteem, the influence of the ego. Sorry about that. Blame, shame, and self-deprecation. Okay, the reason is these are some things that are very common in the Western culture that people often talk about. And when we think about self-esteem, most people, when I ask them, well, what's self-esteem? They don't really know what it is, but we talk about it a lot. If you're into psycho-cybernetics at all, they talk about you can't function higher than your level of self-esteem. It's like a glass ceiling. And a lot of times your self-esteem is out of your conscious mind. Okay. It's influenced by experiences that you've had in your life and the way that you process those experiences. And it's not always really obvious where the level of your self-esteem is. When you see people who rise to great fame or great success and then sabotage themselves, pull the rug right under themselves, completely fuck themselves over, there's an example of someone who has exceeded their self-esteem and they have to lower themselves back down to be in alignment with their self-esteem. It's almost like it's the default. Your self-esteem is the measurement of your default power level. Okay? So the official definition of self-esteem is confidence in one's own worth or abilities. Also thought of as self-respect. In psychology, the term self-esteem is used to describe a person's overall sense of self-worth or personal value. In other words, how much you appreciate and like yourself. Self-esteem is often seen as a personality trait, which means that it tends to be stable and enduring. Okay, so another way to look at this is we get programmed in our formative years. I mean, from birth till about 5 years old, there's a lot of shit that gets imprinted based on our family, our religious influence, and of course, our social influence, how people behave, how you're disciplined, things like that. I notice in, for example, when you go to a restaurant, when there's a young child around, usually they're put in a high chair or restrained in some manner. They're taught not to make too much noise, not to laugh too loud, not to cry, not to ask for what they want, so on and so forth. I remember being in Greece at a restaurant and kids were running all over the place. It was wild. Nobody was getting upset. Nobody was getting pissed off. Little kids would come up to your table and look at you and smile and say something. I didn't understand their language, so I didn't know what they were saying. They might have been saying, fuck you. But they had a big smile on their face, and everybody was happy. In the States, when kids start running around or screaming or getting crazy, the parents get upset, escalate the situation, and everybody around them gets pissed off because it's such a negative energy situation that gets created. So how you're treated in your formative years, of course, is going to set the bar at your level of self-esteem, how you think about yourself. I'm not sure that I agree with it being a personality trait. I think it's more of a programmed trait that you can change. Okay? So some of the ways to modify self-esteem is to think about your level of confidence and competence, and sometimes putting effort towards achievement is a way to raise your level of self-esteem. And when you work towards it, i.e. putting time towards refining something, or like in my case, one of the things that I've always felt really bad is I love guitars, but I've never considered myself to be a guitar player. I'm a drummer, right? And so when it comes to guitar, I'm always really kind of shy and not very confident and feel like, oh, I'll let someone else play a solo because my solo is not good enough. Well, as I've worked and worked and worked at becoming a better guitar player, what's happened is I'm more confident. I have a higher level of self-esteem when it comes to playing. And the work that I've put into it has allowed me to own the higher level of confidence because I've put the work into it, right? So I feel like I deserve it. And so this is a really powerful thing, is look at areas in your life where you have a tendency to sabotage yourself or where you lose power, and look at how, number one, how important is it? Maybe it's not important at all. Maybe it's someone else's shit that you're trying to live up to. But if it's important to you, how can you do the work to be deserving of the higher level of confidence? Okay, the higher level of appreciation. Remember, how much do you appreciate yourself? Okay, so that's how we can help raise our self-esteem. Then we run into the thing, the aspect of the ego, and you know, there's so much bullshit about the ego in psychology. You know, the Jung and Freud, the whatever. And in, of course, the New Agey thing, what's it called? I can't remember what it's called. There's a big study everybody does in the New Age, New Thought churches. And they always talk about the ego, right? And how bad the ego is, and how the ego is like this big evil monster thing. And I think that's complete fucking bullshit. I think somebody with a healthy ego is a person of high self-esteem who has a high level of self-importance. And hey, if you're important, you're fucking important, right? as a drummer in a band, I'm pretty fucking important. And saying that earning a spot as a good drummer is not an unhealthy aspect of the ego. It's a healthy aspect of the ego, because you better be fucking good if you're going to play Carnegie Hall or you're going to make an impact on a lot of people. You better have your shit together. And having that level of confidence and a strong, healthy ego is important, because that's the thing that will help you drive past criticism and drive past the self-doubt, is if you have a good, strong, intact ego. So this idea about eradicating the ego, killing the ego, making the ego some kind of bad thing, you know, fuck you, man. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I think it's something that needs to be really, really rethought, because the ego is probably the most misunderstood and unfairly judged aspect of our psyche. So if I didn't have a strong, healthy ego, I wouldn't be doing a fucking podcast, right? Because I wouldn't want anybody to hear me, because I might not have something important to say. If you like what I say, awesome. I hope it helps you. That's why I do it. And if you don't like it, fuck you. Go someplace else. I don't care. I'm not, your response to my work doesn't make my work good or bad. It just either makes it useful for you or not useful for you, right? And no, nothing personal, right? I don't take it personally. You don't mean it. Maybe you'd mean it personally. I don't know. I've met some mean people that just want to be nasty. I've also met some people that, because of their religious beliefs, they're absolutely certain that I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to be burning in fire for the rest of my life because I'm not working in a church. And that, of course, is utter nonsense. But, you know, I let them have their viewpoints and I have mine. And that's part of a strong, healthy ego as well. It's not all about you. And this is where I think the ego gets misunderstood. It's about what's real. If I'm a really good drummer, and I say I'm a really good drummer, I don't have an out of control ego. I have a correct assessment of reality. If you say you're good at something, let's say you're Phil Mickelson, and you say I'm a fucking great golfer, you are. Okay, there's nothing egotistical about that. That's just fucking reality. So really start to rethink the aspects of your healthy psychology. Allow yourself the ability to appreciate it. I mean, think of how many hours he's worked. I've definitely got in my 20,000 plus hours drumming, and I should be good, right? If I'm not, I should just give up drumming, because if I play that long and I'm shitty, and this, if anything's negative, it's the self false humility. That's bullshit. You know, oh, well, you know, I'm really not that good. Well, you're just totally degrading yourself, and you're insulting the gifts that the ancestors have given you. So listen, own your greatness, all right? I don't mean this in a Christian term, but, you know, God doesn't make mistakes, okay? The Creator doesn't bring us in, and our higher selves, which are part of that divine creation, we don't bring shit into the world. Okay, we might create shit out of the gold that gets put here, and that's the choice that we have with our lives. It's called free will. Or we can take that, we can own it as greatness, and we can step forward with great pride of what an amazing being we are, and we can help that become the impetus to help other people raise the bar and become greater. Next, I want to talk about blame. Blame is like so fucked up. And the thing about blame, the definition of blame is assigning responsibility or for fault or wrong. Okay. The problem with blame is we often put blame where it doesn't belong. Okay. So we assign fault to someone who is not at fault. And, you know, it's so damaging to the psyche and to the self-esteem, especially when this happens in a group situation where somebody blames somebody and they haven't even checked the facts, right? They make some kind of dumbass assumption and put fault on someone. Well, he did it because da da da. How the fuck do you know that? Okay, the thing I did a thing one time for Drum Church, which is an event that I do every Sunday morning, 11 o'clock Eastern time on Facebook. It's a Facebook Live thing, and one week I did it on only speak in the coming week of things that you actually know for absolute certainty. And it was after some kind of political thing. I don't recall exactly what it is, but one side was going, oh, I remember what it was. It was when Epstein was murdered in his cell. The guy in the White House says, oh, the Clintons have struck again. And then so the right wing people were blaming the Clintons, and the left people were saying the Trumps have struck again, and everybody was blaming everybody else. And the thing is, everybody who posted on Facebook about the Clintons or the Trumps, I'll bet you $100 not one of those people knew either one of those families, nor did they know the hitmen that were sent out to kill him, or if there were, or if there weren't. There was, in terms of absolute fact, these people were talking out their ass, and they knew they were doing nothing but supporting some kind of group mob mentality on both sides that had nothing to do with fact. Facts weren't here yet, so how the fuck could we know? It just drives me nuts. Blame is so damaging. So the other thing is shame. And shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Okay? So it's when we shame somebody for wrong or foolish behavior, you know, we're assuming that they know that it's wrong or foolish behavior. It could very well be that they have no idea. When I was over in Africa, I went to touch somebody on the shoulder with my left hand, and Maladoma, my friend, grabbed my hand and put it down and gently whispered in my ear, "Only the right hand." And in their protocol, you never reach out your left hand. You never touch anybody with your left hand. And so I didn't know that. So, you know, I didn't get shamed. You know, the beautiful thing about the village people is they don't shame people. They don't shame their kids. They don't shame each other. They just help everybody understand the proper protocol and the proper behavior. in the West, it seems like we're always shaming. Oh, he should know better. Should, could, shoulda, coulda, woulda. You can't shoulda. That's just ridiculous. So shame is just like blame. Shame is very damaging. And the thing about shame is whoever's doing the shaming is coming from their own core values, and they're applying their core values and their core beliefs on the person that they're shaming. Well, you know what? Keep your own fucking view to yourself, and you live up to your own shit. And if you need me to be a certain way for a certain reason, then you can explain it in a kind and helpful way. This shaming is bullshit. The last thing I'm going to talk about today is self-deprecation. Now, self-deprecation is how you can take blame and shame, and you self-deprecate yourself before somebody else can do it to you. So you say something like, well, yeah, I'm going to say this and it's going to sound really stupid, but blah, 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 right? Or I have no fucking idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then, pardon me. So you basically slap yourself before somebody has a chance to do it. Now, this can be a useful tool when you are in a combative situation. For example, if you have somebody that's going to use their position to leverage you and insult you for a particular reason, let's say you're in a board meeting or you're in a sales meeting, and you know that your boss is pissed at you for something, and so he is going to come down on you. So what you do is would immediately say, okay, I'll give you an example. I used to be involved in an athletic shoe company, and I didn't know anything about the construction of running shoes. Even though I was a runner at the time, I didn't know, and I had made a statement that was inaccurate, and I knew my boss, the vice president of sales, was going to fuck me over in the middle of a sales meeting. So before he had a chance to speak, I said, well, you know, I run 50 miles a week, but I don't know about the construction of the running shoe, so I'll probably make a mistake on this. So you guys in production, if you could help me out and let me know if I'm on track here or not, da 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 da. And then I made my statement. By saying that I'm ignorant of this particular thing, I completely disarmed the person who was going to smack me over the head with a 2x4 and try and make me look stupid in front of everybody. So it can be helpful, but the other thing that self-deprecation can do, it can keep your self-esteem low because you really do punish yourself. It's kind of like the old Catholic monks that used to flog themselves. You know, it's like, I might commit sin, so I'm going to keep myself in massive amounts of pain so that I don't think of anything because I'm thinking about my pain. And that's some fucked up practice right there, but it does work. And so the one thing that it can do effectively, but not helpfully, is it can keep you in a low self-esteem so that you remind yourself constantly that you're stupid or that you don't know or that you are ignorant or whatever it is that keeps you in a low self-esteem so that you keep your confidence low. When you keep your confidence low, you don't expect much of yourself and you don't have to perform. So that's it for today. Think about how these things affect you. Your self-esteem, your ego, blame, shame, self-deprecation. How have they affected you in your life? And what do you want to do with them? How are you going to fix them? If you want some really good help, go to tobychristensen.com and click on services and look at the Genius Lab sessions. Here's where we work on core values, core beliefs, mission, goals, and worldview. It is a fucking powerful, powerful time. It's about 4 hours long and it will kick ass and completely renew your sense of self. That's it for now. Check it out, tobychristensen.com, and by all means, keep looking up.